left my little home in Illinois while whistling a traveling tune.
Welcome to Curiosity in the Corn from WNIJ, Northern Public Radio.
Where we uncover the unexplored oddities, neglected anomalies, and little-known history of our region.
I'm Clint Cargill, a writer and historian who loves uncovering the interesting and unique people, places, and events that are all around us.
And I'm Connie Kuntz, an all-around curious person. I look forward to sharing these stories with you and finding out what sparks your curiosity.
If you have a question you'd like us to answer,
or a topic you'd like us to explore,
visit us at WNIJ.org. And click Curiosity in the Corn. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Clint. What do you have for me this week?
I'm going to play a short clip for you, and I want you to tell me what it means.
And the hurler throws the apple. The striker goes after it with his willow, and he knocks it right out of the orchard. The cranks are going wild. Huzzah! That's another ace on the tally for the Plow Boys, who are looking to whitewash the River Bandits for the match.
I don't know. I do like a good huzzah, though. It's clearly some kind of sport.
Baseball.
Baseball.
More precisely, vintage baseball, as it was played in 1858.
So the hurler is the pitcher, the apple is the ball.
The striker hits it with his willow.
His bat, and knocks it out of the park for a home run. I get it. So what's a crank?
Those are the fans, and they say huzzah because I guess that's what people said back then.
So why are we talking about baseball from 1858?
Because here on Curiosity in the Corn, we uncover the little-known people, places, and things that are all around us in Northern Illinois. And not only are there people in Northern Illinois who still play baseball like it's 1858, they are all around us.
They are?
Everywhere. The Vintage Baseball Association claims there are over 400 clubs nationwide. Some clubs are more formal than others, so it's hard to keep an exact count. But as near as I can tell, there are about a dozen teams in this region, and they also play teams from Iowa, Wisconsin, and Indiana.
Where do they play?
Anywhere they can fit a field. Community parks, mostly. They're very community-oriented. There's also a very strong connection to local history, which is why some of them are sponsored by local historical societies.
And that would explain the team names.
Right. You've got the Plowboys, the Quarrymen, the Millers, the Iron Horses. Many teams try to tie it to something local.
So how was baseball different in 1858?
On the surface, it looks the same. The field layout is the same, the positions are about the same. But there are several major differences. I needed to see this firsthand, so I drove down to Sominok to catch a game between the Sominok Blue Stockings and the Creston Regulators.
And there we go. He waited to get it on the hop. Sometimes if you're getting good bounces, you'll do that. And sometimes the ground's terrible. Lots of times it doesn't bounce much at all. So you want to try to catch it on the fly.
You got
to
feel out the field.
Yeah,
a little
exactly.
Bit.
Sometimes you'd be like, all right, everybody catch it.
So that's a big one. You can catch a ball on the bounce and get the out. That was Tom Warpig Carroll, by the way. He plays for the Sominok Blue Stockings.
Warpig?
Warpig. Yeah. Every player has a nickname, and they go only by their nickname. According to Mike Ace Adrian, the team's founder and former manager,
it gives each player his or her own unique stamp mark.
And that's unique to vintage baseball. The players get to pick their own names. Ace told me about John McGraw, who played for the Baltimore Orioles in the 1890s and went on to manage the New York Giants. The press and the fans always referred to him as Muggsy.
And he absolutely hated that nickname. But it wouldn't go away because it was always reported in the press.
So the vintage baseball players stay ahead of the press, such as it is, and pick their own names. It's fun. And they often base their names on some aspect of their lives. So for the Sominok Blue Stockings, you've got the team manager, Wrench, who is a mechanic. Notes, who likes music. Bicycle, whose grandfather owned a bicycle shop. There's a DeKalb County deputy in Sandwich who goes by Long Arm. And there's one team that has a player named Scumbucket, though I'm not sure what the story is there.
What about Ace?
Well, he told me he's always just been called Ace, so it's not the best origin story, but it still ties into vintage baseball, because when you score a run, it's referred to as an ace. So back to the rules. This catch-on-the-bounce business is important, because vintage ball players, or ballists, as they're sometimes called, do not wear gloves.
I'd imagine the balls are softer, right?
I'll let Warpig explain.
The balls are actually the same size as an original baseball. The stitching is different. It doesn't go around like they do on a normal baseball. It starts with a circle and comes up in four corners around. But the string inside, it's hand-wound, not machine like modern baseballs are. So they're the same size, not quite as hard as a modern-day baseball, but hard enough sometimes on a hard line drive, you don't want to grab it.
There's no base stealing, no sliding into base. There's a player called a rover who is kind of like a shortstop, but he can wander all over the place.
Some people don't understand either because we don't actually play on a baseball diamond.
That's Josh Wrench Riffle. He's the Blue Stockings' current manager.
Some fields we play on, there'll be a tree right in the middle. There'll be a building. There'll be anything that's in the way is fair game. You just play around it. So that's kind of cool too. So when people come watch for the first time, they don't understand, you know, why are we playing around all this stuff? Well, that's just the way it was back then. They played wherever there was an open spot or semi-open. Wherever they could just play. If there's a tree, so be it. There was 20 trees, so be it. It didn't matter. If they were to hit it and there was somebody sitting, you know, on the sideline, the ball was laying in their lap, that team goes out and grabs it, it's an out. It never hit the ground. So sometimes objects can help, and it's kind of fun.
When someone scores a run, or an ace, they ring a little bell after crossing home plate. I think the biggest difference between vintage and modern baseball is the pitching. It's all underhand.
To strike out, you have to swing and miss three times. No contact with the ball. Foul balls are not considered strikes. Like, if you crush one, it goes foul. That's just foul ball. No walks.
Okay.
Nope. Can't get walked, so you can take as many pitches as you want. If you're a batter and it's well pitched and you don't swing, you'll say, oh, good pitch. My apologies, you know, that was a good pitch. I should have swung at that one.
So the pitcher's not actively trying to strike the batter out?
No.
Okay.
No, because like I say, back in the day they were gentlemen. You could literally say, I like it right down the middle, and you need to try to throw it there.
They were gentlemen. I like that. A gentleman's game.
Yeah. And they have other more informal rules too, like no swearing, you have to wear the proper uniform, or else you can be fined. It's like a nickel or a quarter for breaking either rule. But they do tease each other. At one point in the game, after a Creston batter got on first, his own teammates started ribbing him for being a White Sox fan.
Hey, what's with missing the last game to go to a Sox game? Really?
I never done it.
A White Sox game?
You are
forever branded, sir.
And then the Blue Stockings pitcher wanted to know how much he paid for tickets.
It's very cheap.
Well, yeah, it's a Sox game.
I set out to find more about the rules of vintage baseball, but I also wanted to get at one core question. What drives people to play? And I think that's it. Everyone is very polite and friendly. And that's why it attracts players of all ages. You've got guys in their 50s, 60s, 70s. They don't want to chase fastballs. They shouldn't be sliding into third. They just want to hit the ball and have a good time. These rules make it easier for anyone to play. So I asked several players how they got started in the game. Here's Wrench.
Actually, the girl I was dating at the time was friends with a couple players on the team about 8 years ago. And sitting there watching them play, and I'm like, man, you know what? This looks like a lot of fun. It's not like your typical softball game. It's definitely a little more on the reenactment style. That kind of intrigued me. And the way everybody was playing, the camaraderie with everybody, it looked like a lot of fun. And it looked like it was something I could do. I didn't play a whole lot of baseball growing up, and I played, you know, Little League, and I always missed it. I always loved baseball. So coming and watching that game really got me intrigued, and I think it was maybe the next weekend or a couple weekends later, I said, I'll come join you guys, see how I do, and it's been a passion of mine ever since.
Ace was first introduced to vintage baseball when he and an employee at his concrete business just happened to catch a game on TV.
I watched it, and my big takeaway from it was the uniforms. I thought everybody looked so cool in these vintage-style uniforms.
Then he found out there were vintage baseball games being played in the Chicago suburbs.
So I went to one, was asked if I would like to play, and I somehow got on base. I don't recall it being a hit, but made it to first base. I'm thinking, this is awesome. This is incredible.
That was back in 2006. That's what led Ace to start the Blue Stockings. He's retired now and lives in Arizona, but he's still playing out there. Last year, at 71 years old, he hit his first home run.
At 71.
He seemed pretty tickled about it. I also got a chance to speak to Tom Scoop James of the Creston Regulators.
I sat down next to the guy who was running the team, and I said, how do you get on the team? And he asked me what size uniform I wear. That's a true story.
That's all there was to it. Had you played baseball before that?
Yeah, just softball and things like that. But I had hung it up because the young guys, you know, it's too competitive.
Right.
So this is a lot more friendly.
Here's the interesting thing about Scoop. He is the mixologist behind a special beverage called Apple Pie, which came in a 2-foot-tall flask emblazoned with the Creston Regulators logo. It gets passed around by both teams before, during, and after each game.
We have a reputation that we have to uphold.
All right, that's a fun tradition.
Did you try it?
Well, War Pig twisted my arm a little.
Would you like a sip?
Sure, I'd take a sip.
Oh, there you go. I like a man like that.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He's like, yep, see you later. And it's purely medicinal. Or when you get a hit, or just for the heck of it?
Well, with this, sometimes having a couple in you, it gives you a little more, because you get line drives and you're like, I'll go for it.
That's how you can withstand the line drives?
Oh,
and the
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that last voice you heard, that was Brent Scooter Carroll. He's been playing vintage baseball for 9 years. The team's founder, Ace, he used to be Scooter's Little League coach, and Scooter is also War Pig's son. I asked him what it was like playing with his dad.
It's awesome. Mom does the scorekeeping. My brother used to play, too. It's a whole family affair. Keeps us together on the weekends.
Sherry Carroll is the team secretary. She handles the records, tracks the statistics, maintains the social media, and just loves watching her family play. She claims she doesn't have a nickname, but I heard several people call her Mama.
What's your favorite part about vintage baseball?
Is the game. Scooter has played since he was T-ball, and that was like always my thing to go. And I have been at the park for every game. Mm-hmm. And once he graduated high school, I was like, what am I going to do? What do I do now? So once baseball practice starts, it's like, okay, we're going to play some baseball. So I actually love, love, love baseball.
On this day, it just happens to be Mama's birthday. When the game is over, the Blue Stockings won 5-2. The team provided food for all their fans, and they got Sherry a birthday cake. It was a big party. Bicycle even rode around on a vintage penny farthing bike. I had a good time.
Sounds like it. And I like the way fun, family, and community seems to be at the center of it all.
And also a real sense of pride in local history. There was one more thing I was curious about. Did any of the players pretend they were an actual person living in the 1800s?
Like role-playing?
Right. So I asked several players if they ever pretended they were, like, a farmer, or a cooper, or a blacksmith. And this was just their way of winding down after a long week of, I don't know, shucking corn or bending iron around barrels.
And?
Nope. Nobody I talked to did that.
It seems like you wanted them to.
I did. I thought it would be fun. A little historical theater. That's what I'd do, until my character died from dysentery or something.
I'm sure a little apple pie would clear that right up. Thanks, Clint.
Thanks, Connie.
If you're interested in going to the Saminac Blue Stockings, you can find the schedule on their Facebook page. And check the VBBA website to find a team in your area. There could be one right next door that you never even knew about.
And if you know about something unique to the Northern Illinois region, a person, place, event, anything our listeners will be curious about, visit WNIJ.org and click Curiosity in the Corn. Then listen for Curiosity in the Corn on WNIJ, where you learn something new every day. A special thanks to Mike Ace Adrian, Tom Warpig Carroll, Sherry Mama Carroll, and all the players of the Saminac Blue Stockings and the Creston Regulators. Our theme music was provided by Dan Whitaker and the Shinebenders. You can check out their music and other music from regional and touring bands at another WNIJ show, Sessions from Studio A. I'll drop a link in the show notes, which you can find at WNIJ.org. This episode was produced by Connie Kuntz and Dan Klefstead, with sound engineering by Spencer Tritt, and extra support from intern Nick Kowalczyk. Our old-timey baseball announcer was played by WNIJ reporter Peter Medlin. I'm Clint Cargill, and thanks for listening.